Good afternoon, everyone. It's Joe. Hope everybody is doing well, healthy, wealthy, and wise and prosperous and all of that on this lovely Thursday afternoon from South Florida. Just a little rub there for you guys that are up north, but I am going to spend the week next week in the Milwaukee area. So I'll get some of the cold weather. So we've got some good content to go through today, and just want to let everybody know again, please participate in the call. Please make sure that if you have a question, let's get our hand up and let's type it in. Again, I want to make this as much of a learning process as we possibly can. So with that, let me see if Bob Esler is on the call here, and we will start with him. Doesn't look like he is. So we'll go ahead and start with Stu and Tina. Let me unmute these guys. Stu, Tina, are you there?
We are.
Hi, Joe.
Very good. How is things in the North Country? How are things?
Well, busy.
They're good. We're getting some rain, but that's okay. We like
that. That's wonderful. Well, do you need the rain? I guess that's the next question.
We do. We got a lot of snow on the mountains this year. We'll at least have some water for next year.
Yeah.
For later this year.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we want to make sure that happens, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So, hey, just let me verify. Can you guys see the syllabus on the screen? Okay.
Yes.
Right now is note information with not a lot there.
No.
That was a jab at you guys. You got that.
I know.
Well, listen, Eddie said us a thing and said he wanted a story about this.
And I saw that.
Yeah. Well, look, I tell you what we did, Joe. We've joined the Seattle RIA. We joined it last October.
Yeah, now is that REAPS? Is that Catherine Schwanberg's group?
Yeah.
And the Bellingham.
And we go to meetings and Bellingham, Everett,
and
Seattle. Yeah, and Bellevue, where they have the main one.
Right.
So we met this guy last week at the Bellingham
REAPS
meeting.
Uh-huh.
And it's a sort of thing. He's going to get some kind of an inheritance, and he wants to put it in the notes. And he knows Eddie. Well, he knows of Eddie. Anyway, so what we talked to him yesterday, and he's working with his son on a condo in Seattle. The son paid cash for it.
Okay.
And we got to talking about, well, he could put a note on it. Like, he's talking about using a...
Like, maybe eventually selling it.
Yeah, and... but he wants to put a note on it and so that he could sell it. So we don't know how to go about that. So I just sent you that, and I haven't done the...
I understand where you are there. So I think this is a good learning experience for today. So we'll go through it and we'll talk about just exactly how you should create this thing so that at some point in time, when the seller wants to cash out of it, or if he does want to cash out of it, then he can do so. And real quick, let me do something while I'm real quick. Hold on.
Okay.
Hey, Gary, can you hear me? Gary Perot? Anyway, Gary, if you don't have a mic there, there is no set form to submit information or submit your questions for the webinars. So just kind of type it out, and if it's one of the sheets like you see here that I'm going to go over with Stu and Tina, just let me know, and I'll be happy to email you one of those as well. Okay? So let me get back to Stu and Tina. So this is the age-old question, and by the way, everybody on the call, you really need to participate in a local RIA. the real estate investors associations. You may have to, if you're in a larger city, you may have to go to two or three before you pick one. But you can certainly email me at any time, because I talk to these guys. I'm at conferences with these REIA owners, and I would be happy to make a recommendation or say, yeah, that's probably a good one, or no, that's probably one you shouldn't participate with. They just don't seem to be forward thinking, and so on. So I'll just offer that to you as well. All right. So Stu and Tina at, and by the way, REAPS is the best one in that part of the world, guys. So you did well there. And as a matter of fact, Eddie will be there in June presenting at REAPS. So
yeah, I know. Yes, they mentioned that in Bellingham when we were there last week, that he's coming in June. It's going to be the
20th or 25th or something. And so we're there. Yes, that's exactly right. Let me look at my calendar here. But, yes, he'll be there. Actually, he's doing the smaller group on the 22nd. Then he's doing the big group in Bellingham on the 23rd. And then a full day on Saturday, the 25th. So it'd be wonderful if you guys, maybe you could, you know, go to dinner or something like that while he's there. So anyway, do they have a note subgroup inside that REIA, guys?
No, they don't.
No.
Well, here's what I would suggest, and for you guys that are on the call that are members of a REIA, I would certainly check with the REIA leader if there is not a subgroup for notes inside within the REIA. And if there's not, I would certainly talk to the REIA leader about allowing you to start one. And it doesn't have to be a big formal thing. You could meet every other week for lunch, or you could meet for breakfast, or you could meet in the evening. And it could be for anybody that is interested in the note business, or anybody that would be interested in making learn how to make an investment in their IRA or whatever it would be, in the note business as well. So, you know, Bob Bullinger is our poster boy on that. You know, he was one of the first ones to start a note subgroup in the REIA that he's a member of, and he's done real well with that, with making contacts. So I just want to throw that out there, that is something you probably want to do. But always check with the REIA leader before you start doing that. And if they support it, that's a good thing. All right, so Stu, Tina, you meet a guy at the REIA meeting the other night, and you start talking, and he's interested in notes and so on. So he's now has a condo in Seattle that he and his son bought as a rehab, and now they're rehabbing the condo. Is that what it is?
No, actually, he's just I don't know, but I think it was in fairly good shape, Joe.
Okay.
He just bought it, and what his initial intent is to kind of furnish it, and then kind of a vacation rental. Isn't that what we understood?
What do they call it? B&B. It's around the world,
yeah.
And they do short-term rentals.
Okay.
And so we got just talking casually further, and we said, you know, if he ever decides to this condo or do something different, we said, you know, he ought to consider seller financing it, because it's free, you know, he paid all cash.
Right.
And that was how we came to the idea, well, we could help him create a note so that he was able to do that. Like, we weren't looking to buy it. We understood, maybe we're wrong, but we understood that was one of the things that we could offer was...
No, absolutely. No, you can show him how to want to be involved in how he creates this note, so that when he is ready to sell it, then it becomes something that is sellable. And you can recall, you know, when we were talking with Karen and Todd on Monday night, I mean, the note they were creating on their deal was certainly not something that would be sellable at some point in time. So you want to make sure that if you're talking with somebody that what they're doing it the correct way. Okay, so the highest and best use for this, obviously, when you look, you say Rent-A-Meter says this is worth, would rent for $1,432 a month. and with a purchase price of $265,000, $265,000. You know, that's just not a great return on his investment. You know, something like this with that rate, you know, 1% a month is a good rule of thumb. So $2,600 a month would be a better rental for this kind of unit. But again, it's only 500 square feet.
That's right.
So it's a studio.
A studio as well.
And a full down bed in it. It's like a hotel. It's like a hotel room.
That's right.
Yeah, basically.
Hotel room. So it would have been great for you to have gotten to him before he bought that. he paid market value for this, and really, you know, his best outcome on this would be if it would rent in some type of rental program where it could rent for $1,000 a week or $1,500 a week on somebody's rental program. But just remember that when you're dealing with a condo of this, if a 500 square foot studio is $265,000, then what's a two bedroom? Well, it's probably $500,000.
Yeah,
right.
So that's what you've got to look at as well. So with this, like I said, it probably wasn't the best use of $265,000 of this gentleman's money as far as an investment. Just imagine if he would have bought a bunch, you could have set him up with a bunch of performing notes for that, and he would be making a 10, 11, 12, 13 yield on these things, a return versus on this one, not great. So here's the, if he were going to create a note, and let's just kind of talk through this, knowing that probably that is not the best outcome for him on this particular deal. Let's just pretend that it was, just so we could say, okay, what would be the process if he wanted to sell this and finance it for his buyer? Okay, so let's just kind of look at it like that and see what it looks like. So the first thing he would need to do, and this will be one of those little mini lessons that we can use and we can all revert back to when we have questions on how do we create a note. Well, the first thing we would do is your condo owner would need to find their buyer. And once they find their buyer, the biggest thing that we've got to be careful of, and this may not even be a big deal for this seller, but I would certainly encourage, whether you're involved and they're selling, this is their primary residence, and they're selling it, this is the only note that they'll ever do, or an investor that creates one note a year or two notes a year and kind of falls below the radar as far as Dodd-Frank and SAFE Act. In order for them to sell it or later sell the note, it needs to be SAFE Act compliant. So if you're involved and you're consulting with someone on selling, on creating a note that they would possibly sell a full or a partial on at some point in time, you need to encourage them. If they're selling it to an end user, then it needs to be Dodd-Frank compliant.
Yes, we told you that.
And again, you know, I've been in this thing for 25 years, and I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. The average person that sells their property with seller financing doesn't even check the credit, nor do they even get the borrower's social security number. So that's just why that is. I don't know. And it's still prevalent today. I see notes that are created every day that we wouldn't touch because they weren't compliant. So we want to make sure that they are. So that's the first thing that, you know, that's the first part of your service there, is you want to sell it to the best borrower, the most highly qualified borrower possible. So number one, whether you're using a local RMLO, or you're going to use Pat in the Phoenix area, Pat Bilheimer, or any of the other RMLOs that we have on the list. That's the first thing you need to recommend. So, and as we're talking to these potential note owners that are selling their property, we need to talk to them about the first thing when they're talking to a buyer. The first thing they need to do when they're talking about seller financing is here's what we'll need for you to do. We have a residential mortgage loan originator, and because of Dodd-Frank and the SAFE Act, you're going to want to make sure that you're selling to the most highly qualified borrower or buyer. Right. So the first thing you're going to have them do is they're going to contact an RMLO. And then the RMLO is going to take them through the process. They're going to have them fill out a 1003 residential loan application. They're going to have them fill out some worksheets. They're going to have them send in their last 3 years of tax returns, their pay stubs, W-2s, banking statements, and things like that. Okay, so that's the process they should go through. Now you need to tell them that it's going to cost their potential borrower somewhere between $800 and $1,000 to get this done. But it needs to be done if they want to sell this note at some point in time. And I couldn't imagine someone not selling and making sure that they're compliant anyway. Okay, and you need to explain why. It's not a scare tactic. It's just the fact of life.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we told him, Joel, you need to get an RMLO to do it, he said, a what? He never heard of it.
Right. And what I would do, guys, is just explain to your potential clients as part of the consulting that you're going to be doing with them, what that really means. Well, two politicians got together and they created the Dodd-Frank Act, Christopher Dodd and Barney Frank, and because of the financial crisis that happened in 2007, 2008. They created this mammoth piece of legislature that became law that you have to follow the rules when you are selling to a consumer. And correct. I wouldn't even make it optional. I'm just saying you need to do this. Whether you're working with me or you're working with somebody else, I'm telling you how it needs to be done, because everybody out there doesn't follow the rules. And in order to protect yourself, you need to follow the rules. Especially a guy that just wrote a check for $265,000. That probably isn't the only money that he has.
Yeah, you're right. And that's what we told
him. So we want to make sure that he's well protected. So then the next and you tell your client that don't even talk to the borrower about rates or terms until after you see what they look like. See what their credit looks like and what their debt to income ratio looks like. So wouldn't even go to that until you find out what that is. Now, once they've contacted the RMLO and the RMLO has provided you with the information and said, okay, here's their debt to income ratio and here's how much they can afford per month. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you're going to have to look at the information that you have in front of you, and guys, it's not the credit. I mean, if they've got a 520 credit, and you want to make the determination that something really bad happened to these people, and I think they'll pay us, or I think they'll pay the borrower or the seller, the lender in this case. You can make that determination, and I've seen some low credit scores that's the exact thing that happened. Was that they did have a significant event in their life and they couldn't pay for a while, so that's kind of what you've got to go through. So, but the debt to income ratio is the big deal. So then the next step after that is, okay, they've decided they want to go with these folks. Well, the purchase price on this or the sale price on this is $265,000. Well, what kind of down payment would this potential borrower What kind of money do they have to put down? And obviously, when asked, you know, what they have, well, how much money does your borrower have to put down? I wouldn't go with, well, do you have 10% down or 15% down or $10,000 or $20,000? How much cash do you have available as a down payment? And if it's somebody that says, well, I've got $10,000, well, on a $265,000 purchase price, we know that it is not going to, that's not going to cut it. So they need a minimum of 10%, and really we all know that that it should be more. So we want to make sure that that they understand that. So it's not, well, $265, they're going to give me $10,000 down, and we're going to finance the rest of it. So then talking about interest rates, well, you know, you can play with that. So let's say that $265, the people have got $30,000, $35,000 to put down on this. So we're going to create a first mortgage of $230,000. Now, if they had less to put down, your interest rate should go up to reflect that. So if they've got $35,000 to put down, that's a little over 10%. That's about 15% or something like that. Then it's still going to be higher than market rate. And when your seller says, well, why in the world would somebody want to pay, you know, 6% when they can get 4%? Well, if they really can get 4%, then maybe they should go to the bank. Mm-hmm. One of our biggest targets are the people that they're not bankable. And I don't mean that they're not bankable because they're lousy people. Some people are just, it's really difficult if you're a self-employed borrower. It's very difficult to get a loan, a conforming loan, to make that happen. So that's kind of where that is. So I would still recommend it's going to be higher than market rate. So now we're talking about a minimum of 6%, and then we look at term. Now, most likely, if it was a term on this, most likely you're going to have to go, you may have to go 30 years on this. And again, if that's the case, then you're going to have to kind of coach the seller along in the fact that, you know, the longer the term, the bigger the discount is going to be if you're going to want to sell this at any given time. But a $230,000 loan at 6% for 30 years, the payment's going to be about $1,378 a month. And obviously that's going to be plus taxes and insurance. In this case, I have no idea what the monthly homeowners association fees would be. But if it were a condo, that's going to have to fall into fall in with that debt to income ratio. Okay?
Yeah, John, the HOA dues are $399 a month.
And that includes their, I believe, heat, light, and
should also include taxes on the, insurance on the entire building, but then they would cover separately their personal belongings. That's the way it usually is, but it may not be. So you've got $1,378 plus you have $400 in HOA fees, and you know you've got another $100 in insurance, and you've got whatever the taxes are. The taxes could be a couple thousand dollars a year on this, so it could be another $200, $250 a month. So now you're up $1,418, $1,419. You're up at about $2,150 a month, and then so these folks that are going to buy this, you know, have got to be making $12,000 a month or something like that. Well, not $12,000 a month, but they need to, well, depending on what their other bills are, but they're going to be somewhere up in the $8,000 a month category. So does that work for these borrowers? So that's really, you know, the process. And then if you wanted to kind of play with some of the numbers with them, you know, for them to try to sell a full purchase or a full sell the balance of this note, their discount's going to just be outrageous. So what I would then show them is, okay, here's how you could do a partial on this. And that's what I would recommend on this type of situation. So at any point in time, let's say Mr. Note Seller, Mr. Lender, you needed $50,000 to do something else. Okay? So based on that, here's what we could buy 35 payments and you'd get $50,000 or whatever it would be. But you could kind of go through the process with them, showing them how that all plays out. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Actually, that's basically what we told them.
Good. you know more than you thought you did.
Yeah.
But we had never really done this, so we wanted to make sure we had everything needed to make it right, you know.
No, that's good, Joe, because you just reinforced what we were, you know, how we were approaching this.
Well, I just want to make sure that the guys, you know, that Kevin's out there, you know, making sure that he's, you know, he's taking care of everybody there. So telling him how to really do it. can you let's go through a couple of questions here. Can you recommend an RMLO for California, Nevada? Michael, it's Pat Bilheimer. Hold on and let me look and see what that what her information is. I'll get it to you in just a second. Let's see, Bob, hopefully you got your sound working there. And you said you found her number. Good. So that's really, as we start into this, that's really what the process is. And it's just being an advisor at this point in time to make sure that that they're doing this thing the right way. Whether you sell it with seller financing or not, if you decide to go this way, then here's what you need to do to make it right, to make it work.
Right. Okay. Now, before, what kind of is it a confidentiality agreement, or what kind of an agreement do we initiate with them?
With your, well,
or do we?
You know, here's the thing. Are you, and here's the question that probably everybody on the call is thinking at this point, well, how do I get paid on that? And it can be some type of flat fee agreement for this service. You know, I'll charge you $1,000 or whatever it is, or a percentage of the deal, or it could be as a right of first refusal. So Mr. Note Seller or Mr. Lender Seller, potential note owner, here's what I'll do. If you decide to sell all or part of this note at any time in the future, I would like the first right of refusal to price this for you. Now, obviously, that's where you're going to make your biggest fee situation. I mean, showing them how to put this together. I mean, after they pay an RMLO, they may not want to pay you for doing that. But certainly you need to put it out there. Well, what do you charge for this service? Well, we typically charge 1% of the sales price. Well, in this case, 1% would be $2,650. And you can still do a first right of refusal on this. And it would be basically just a fee agreement.
Okay.
If you follow through and if you use our services, I mean, you're not going to just give them up front. Well, yeah, here, when you get ready, just have them call Pat and she'll take care of this. And no, you want to be involved in it all along the way.
Right.
Okay. And okay. The only way you're going to, you know, the way that you're going to make money in this is to take them through the entire process. So 1% could be 2%, and on a 1% on something like this, and then the hope of being able to do something with it in the future would be, I think, would be fair.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Great, Joe. Thanks.
Thank you. That's exactly what
we're doing. Very good. Well, I hope that, and again, certainly look at starting a notes subgroup inside REAPS. Just check with Catherine the next time you go. You may want to wait until, and just kind of throw it out there to her now, because it'll really get big after Eddie goes in there in June, yeah. It'll really kind of bump up, and you'll see a real strong interest in notes. So
did actually ask Catherine, and she did say that we could do that, and we've kind of been listening intently to your old, I think it was July the 9th with Bob Bullinger and Mark, and kind of how to go about these meetups and what to do and so forth. So we were trying to just gather more information for ourselves.
That's right. And again, what you want to do is just, you'll just announce it. Hey, it's going to be an informal, you know, it's not, you know, you want to make it sound as impressive as you can, but here's what we're going to do. And especially after you have this, after Eddie's there in June, it's, hey guys, we're going to do every other week. We'll have a meetup, and we'll meet wherever you decide to meet. And you're just going to have to pick a time, and they're going to either have to make it, because you can't suit everybody, okay?
Right.
And, you know, you'll have to see what the first meeting looks like, and doesn't have to cost a whole lot of money or any money to do it. I mean, you can meet, you know, ask just a local restaurant if you can meet in there in a special area or that type of thing, or you go down to a Starbucks and, you know, you see who's going to be there, and then you're going to take it from there. And just, you know, pull out the notes presentation that we've canned and we have, you know, on the books there, or just pull out a deal that you're working on or one of the case studies that we have and say, this is what we do. This is what's available, because it's going to be twofold. You want to kind of work with people that want to be in the note business, but you'll also be able to gain some investors for this as well. And that's the way I would pitch it to the group when you're standing up and you're giving your elevator speech is, look, we've got some passive investors that are inside the group here that just want to get a great percent return. Typical returns on notes is anywhere from, you know, 8 to 10%. We're especially like to work with people on something that we call a partial. It's very safe and you know, you just kind of hook people in and let them come in and learn what it is. And as they go through it, I mean, don't pitch them to who wants to write a check tonight for $100,000 to invest in a bunch of money. If they're interested, and they will be, they'll come to you. But you don't have to get out there and try to get them to, you know, to write a check that night. You just have to get out there and just show them the opportunity, and either they'll like it or they won't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, right. I've been standing up at some of them and giving a little
just
30
a little
seconds
spiel of what we're doing.
But she just gave me a couple of other ideas.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And again, you're looking for both. But most of all, investors are people that are interested in, and they've got a property that may have been a problem for them to sell. Maybe they've got they want to get cash flow. Whatever it is, you're gonna help them and you're gonna push them along.
Great.
All right. That's very good.
Super. Thank you. That was exactly what we were wanting.
Good. Okay. We'll talk soon, guys.
Okay, yeah. Joe. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Uh-huh. Jackie, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm in a little bit of a panic, but I'm doing well. How are you today?
Why are you in a panic? Talk to me.
Well, I'm making bids, and it's very interesting, and I am afraid that my spreadsheets are not quite what they ought to be. I got confused when we were talking last week about making a percent of the – separating the balloon from the cash flow up front. I don't know what you call that.
Right. Okay.
And what's that piece called? I know the balloon, what the balloon is called, but the pre-balloon.
Well,
anyway,
it's the payment stream up to the balloon.
Okay. Let's call it the pre-balloon. Anyway, I can't make my spreadsheets take the value. If I can do the whole thing and that works out fine. So if I do the whole note, I can come up with what I think is the right numbers. It balances back to what you had on yours. But when I split them into two pieces and try to give a bid on the pre-balloon and a bid on the balloon, I can't make those two numbers come back to the same number that I had in the beginning. And I know that just may be my spreadsheet, but
Have you talked to Zarina on helping her? I know I think you're one of the testees or whatever that the people that are she's kind of working with on the.
I can do that. I ended up this morning. I called the man back that I'd given the wrong quote to this morning, who is unfortunately a bankruptcy lawyer in Fort Lauderdale.
Huh.
You know, who does workouts all the time. So it's like, oh God, I'm, you know. And I basically said, I read the wrong thing off the spreadsheet and a bid that I knew was right for the whole note. And then he wanted the two pieces, and I said, I can't give that to you at this time. But I also started working on this. Eddie had said that you can offer half the unpaid balance for that. In other words, if you had $117,000
give me some numbers and let's talk through it here. Let's just talk through it here real quick. What's the property worth?
Wait one second. It's 160.
So the property's worth 160.
Joe, I've got a lawyer's. Yeah, I've got it 145. So I'm going to do this as long as I can, and then I'll have to go away.
So the sales price was how much, Jackie?
129, and it had a down payment, so it was 124 is the actual principal. The sales price was 139.
Okay. And so the
principal's 117.
Okay, so tell me again now, the principal, the beginning balance was how much? 124?
Right. And here, I got it up now. The interest is 4.25.
Okay. All right.
It's 300 payments term.
300 payment term, okay. And
26
monthly payment.
26. I get 671.76.
671.76. Okay.
Correct. Six payments.
How many payments have been made?
26.
And then how many remaining until the balloon? So when was the balloon set in there?
46. The balloon's at 72, so there's 46 payments left of the balloon.
46. Okay, so what is the current balance on the loan?
117.6.
117.6. Yeah. Okay.
6.724.
And then what do they show as the balance when it balloons?
I calculate 104,963.
Okay. 963. Okay. 104,963. Okay. All right. So there's so just so everybody understands what we're doing here. So this property sold for $139 with $15,000 down 26 months ago. It was ammed out as if it would pay off over 300 months. But what they did was they put a balloon in here that says, okay, at the end of 72 months, the borrower has to refinance this and pay this off. Okay, so the current unpaid balance is $117.6 and some change, and then the balloon amount, so in 46 months when this comes due, the balloon amount or the amount on the loan on that day will be $104,963. So in order to quote something like that, we can do this several different ways. So Jackie, what kind of numbers did you throw out there for him as you did this?
Well, I started off with as a 12% yield. That was what I started with. But I got a bid from Colonial at 9.5 yield. And so what I did is I went back to the 9.5 yield and tried to balance back to what y'all had given me.
Okay.
So let's do the 12, and I'll do the 12 with you. I'm working on it right now. Okay.
Okay. So what I'm showing here then is, Jackie, you would buy the remaining 46 payments.
Right.
And at a 12% yield.
Right.
You're at a 12%, that's going to be $24,671 is going to be the pay price. Now that's, you know, that's at 12%. That's letting the seller is going to get $24,000 now, and he or she is going to retain all of the balloon. So the balloon, okay. What, 104 something?
Yeah, 104.963.
Okay. So we would just say, look, I'll buy the payments, you'll keep the balloon, and here's how much we can write a check for you today. You'll get $24,000 today, and in 46 months, you'll get $104,000 or whatever the balloon amount ends up being.
And that's what I got, Joe, so I'm good on that.
Okay, so now we could say, okay, what if we bought the 46 remaining payments and then half of the balloon? So we would, for that, and at that same 12% yield, so we would say, Mr. Seller, we'll pay you $57,000. You're going to get $57,000 now, and when the note balloons in 46 months, you'll get another $54,400.
All right, that's, I'm lost now. Okay. What I get can I see the calculation? You've got a, I'm going to take a print screen up here. That'll do it. Got it. Okay. What I get, what I get here is, for 46 payments and 50% of the balloon, which would be 114 payments, for a total month sold, 46 and 114, a total of 160, I get $53,504.81 as the offer to the seller, to the fund, yeah.
Okay, so the way you should be, you know, putting that in is you're buying the remaining 46 payments, and then you're
right,
half of the balloon, which should be $52,481.
On top of the $24,671?
No, that's $24,671. That's off the table. So here, Mr. Seller, here are your three different offers. Hold on just a second for me. Okay, so Jackie, the first offer would be, we're going to buy 46 payments.
Okay.
Hold on, so let me just take that out of there and put zero there. No, that's not what I want to do. Okay, and we're not going to buy any of the balloons. So,
That's what I get. I'm fine with that. I understand that calculation.
So, Mr. Seller, that is your first, that's your first offer. Okay?
Okay.
Now, our second offer would be that we're going to buy half of the balloon. So the $24,671 applies no more. Okay?
Okay.
So no
prepayments and half of the balloon.
We're going to buy the 46 payments and half the balloon. So at a 12% yield, I mean, you don't have to tell them this, but we're going to buy the 46 remaining payments, and then when the balloon comes due in 46 months, when they write the check for $104,000 or whatever it is to pay this off, you're going to get to keep $52,481, and we'll get $52,481. So for that, you're going to get a check for $57,000 today, and then in 46 months, you're going to get another $52,000.
Okay.
So we'll take it one more step and say, okay, we'll just buy all of the balloon. We're going to give them a price just as a full purchase. So what we're doing here is, Mr. Seller, we'll give you $91,000 today, and that's it. They're out of it. So what you're buying is, you're buying the 46 payments. When the balloon comes due of $104,963, you're going to get all of the balloon as well. So they're completely out of it. In 46 months, if they can't take the balloon out, then a couple of things are going to happen. You probably paid too much, okay? And or B, you're going to give them a 6-month extension or a 1-year extension or whatever it is. But you need to know now what their credit situation looks like, you know, before you commit to buying that balloon. If there's not a snowball's chance in heck of you being of them being able to take that balloon out, then you don't even make that offer.
Okay.
So the two offers in that case.
In all of these instances, you bought the pre-balloon too, correct?
There is no pre. We're getting the 46 payments of 600 and whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
So we're getting the payment stream. We're getting the cash payment stream plus, in this last case, plus all of the balloons. So they're out of it completely. They are no longer on the hook for any of it. You're doing a full purchase on this note. So you're getting the 46 payments of cash flow, and the check will come to you at 104,963 when they refinance it and pay it off.
Okay. And is there any I think I'm fine. Let me take what I've done here. I've taken print screens, and let me make sure I can make it work online, and I appreciate it.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me see, Jackie. Just stay. Hold on here. Let's see what kind of – I'm sure we've got some questions here, so just stay on. Dave Fernecki, he did his first – has nothing to do with this, Scott, but he had his first meetup in Phoenix at the Azria, and he had 23 people. He said he was shocked. So that's great. Had 23 meetings or people at his new at his first note subgroup meeting there. Les says, I have a friend who wants to sell his home without a realtor and doesn't want to owner finance. Will he need an RMLO? Les, you know, here's the thing. Is he going to want to sell the loan at some point in time? I know that Colonial, whether it's Jeff Armstrong or if it is FNAC or any other buyers, they're going to require that this be Dodd-Frank or be SAFE Act compliant. So I would suggest that he use an RMLO. I mean, you could make the argument and say, well, he's only selling one house this year. Well, what if that loan goes south and I buy it? Then it's my deal. So I don't know of any investors that are going to, unless they're uninformed, that would buy this either a full or a partial down the road if he wanted to sell it. So I would certainly suggest that he do that, whether he takes your advice or not. But that's just the way it should be done. And he should be doing that anyway. Okay. Who in their right mind sells a house and doesn't make sure that, or anything, and doesn't make sure the borrower can't afford to pay the monthly payment? So anyway. That's my spiel on that, Les. Gary has a question. Question scenario to content. Is there time to be covered? Let me pull it up here in a second, Gary, and see what we can do. Yes, Frederick, we will have the today's syllabus on the handout. We sure will. Make sure that happens. I didn't know that wasn't happening until after the call last week. Gary, your other question was questions about current example. How would you determine? Let me come back to that. David, if you buy 50% of the balloon, who decides the terms of the refi? Just the original note seller? Okay, that's a great question. Jackie, are you still there? Okay, Jackie may have left. So.
No, I'm still here. Okay, so, I muted myself so okay. I wouldn't bother you.
So here's a question that can come up. So if you're buying the payment stream only and letting the note owner have the balloon, then obviously you're out of the deal. You don't care what happens to it. You've gotten your 46 payments and you're done. If you're buying the 46 payments plus all of the balloon, seller, the note owner, the guy that you bought it from, you've bought a full purchase, and that's going to be your deal to negotiate with the seller or the borrower on the terms of the refinance or whatever it is. The thing that we would be concerned about, though, would be if we only bought half of the balloon. So who decides the term? So here's what happens. You're going to if you've bought the payments and half the balloon, then about 6 months prior to, so in about 40 months, you're going to send out a letter saying, okay, your note is due to be paid off in 6 months. You should start, if you haven't already done so, you need to start looking for a lender that will refinance this for you so that you can meet the deadline, which is whatever the date is. So they're going to start doing that, and you should even have them keep you in the loop saying, okay, here's where we are. We are making, you know, we are working on this. And if they're having, and you can offer your services in helping them find a lender to that will refinance this for them, for this person. Okay. You want to be involved in it. So let's say that, you know, now we're 30 days out. It's going to balloon in 30 days, and they haven't gotten a lender that's going to refi it for them. And so here we go. So you're expecting to get $52,000, and so is the guy that, you know, you bought the note from. So you're going to have to get with that person and say, hey, here's the deal. They can't refi it, and it's coming due. So our two things that we can do is, A, we can force it, and we can force them out and foreclose on them, and they're done, okay? Because they that's a default as far as their loan goes. Or do we want to give them an additional six-month extension to get this, to get it refinanced? So whatever it is on that scenario, whether if you're expecting any of the balloon, then you're going to need to be involved, and you're going to have to push these borrowers to get that done. If not, you know, most of these aren't even going to think about this thing having a balloon in it. They may not even realize what it was when it was put in there. So hopefully, David, that answers your question on that. But if you then have to, if it then has to be, you know, they can't get it refied, and you're going to have to, you're not, and you choose not to foreclose on them, then you're going to have to get with the guy that owns the other part of that, and you guys are going to have to work something out. Does that make sense?
I understand.
Okay. Very good. So and hopefully that gets your question taken care of. Linda says, what is the cost for RMLO services? An RMLO, I know that Pat charges about $1,000, Pat Bilheimer in Phoenix. So it's going to be anywhere from $800 to $1,200, depending where you are. The 1% that I was referring to, Linda, would have been the 1% of the sales price, which would be if I were going to charge them something to help them find a buyer and help them set up this note on top of what the RMLO would charge. The RMLO fee is usually going to be paid by the borrower. And if you were going to charge them something as far as helping them create this note, then you would get that would be paid by the seller. Claudia, along the same line, if I buy a house via seller finance and then find a tenant buyer to lease purchase, who needs to use the RMLO, me, the seller, or both? Well, if you're buying it and you're via seller financing, if you're buying it as an investor, then that there really isn't a need for an RMLO because you're an investor. You're not going to live in the house. You're using it as this as an investment property, so that falls outside of the SAFE Act. When you're selling it, Claudia, if you're selling it to somebody that's going to live in it and they're a consumer and they're going to raise their kids there and grow old there, then you need to use an RMLO with them. Okay, so your other question was both my purchase and my lease option agreements would have balloons. Again, don't get involved. Don't put a balloon in there if you don't think. Now, if you're buying with a balloon, it makes no difference because you're the investor. But if you're selling it and you're going to a consumer and you're going to put a balloon in there, you better make sure up front, and you just can do the best you can do, that they've got good enough credit that they have a high likelihood, a high propensity to be able to to refinance that when it comes due. Okay? And then David says, there's a six-month extension to be, no, all you're doing, Dave, really is saying, okay, you can't get this done right now, so maybe we should, we're going to give you an additional 6 months. But you've got to make it, you've got to let them know that, you know, that's a hard, we're giving you 6 months, but and that's a hard deadline. Because if not, we can foreclose on this because you're in default on this and you need, it just needs to be in writing and you need to make sure that, you know, you need to get this done or you need to sell the house. Unless you're willing to, you know, to ride with them for another 20 years or whatever it is, but you need to make sure. Now, this wouldn't be a big deal. Let's see, what are we, 2 years into Dodd-Frank? So this was the particular loan that we were just talking about with Jackie was probably originated in December of 2013, so wouldn't need to be, you know, the balloon wasn't a challenge then, so it wouldn't be a deal. And by the time they hit 46, or by the time they hit this balloon date of 72 months, it gets us by that three-year window, which was put inside of Dodd-Frank saying that, hey, we can do this. Nothing can happen to the lender after there's 3 years of seasoning on this, or they've paid 3 years on this deal. So that's what we have there. David, let's see. Hold on just a minute and let me, or Gary, let me find you here and let me unmute you.
That is so not
what I'm gonna unmute you. I'm gonna mute you, Jackie. Talk to you later. Let me know if you need anything. Gary, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. So ask me the question. I don't want to have to pull that email up and go through all this. So just kind of ask me, and is it something we can do like that, or is it something we need to have?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some details on it. I'll just walk through it. So
okay.
At a high level, I'm buying houses in Memphis. I want to sell them to consumers.
Right.
At retail prices. I don't want to do the rehab, so I'm advertising to handyman contractors. And I'm selling them retail minus some of the costs that it would take to do the rehab. So I'm trying to give them a good deal, offer them seller financing as the carrot, and yet I'm marking it up a lot more than if I were just wholesaling it. So a typical scenario would be I buy a property for $10,000.
And I've got it up on the screen now. So so you've got a $1,000 purchase price, or that's what you've bought it for.
Right.
So you're going to have
a rehab is about $5,000, and that's would be a retail. Mm-hmm. But this guy's a contractor, so his price may be lower. It may his estimate is about $38,000. So I'm offering it as a sales price for $25,000.
Now, so what? So hold on just a second. So you know you've got $15,000 in this deal, and
Well, actually, no, I don't. I have 10 because I did. I'm not doing the rehab.
Oh, you're not doing the rehab. Okay, so you're okay. So I got you. I just thought you were leaving something on the table there. So you're going to sell it for $25,000 with a $4,000 down payment, financing $21,000, 9%.
Term is 7 years. Sorry, not 7%.
$338 a month.
That's fully amortized.
Okay, so your question on that is you're going to offer this to an investor. Now this, so what do we think the retail price is ARV after repair value?
Well, Zillow is up around 38. Some of them are even higher. So it's around $40,000 for Zillow.
So what I'm saying, the reason I'm saying that is you want to leave something, you got to leave something on there for your, unless you're selling it to a retail buyer who is then going.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm selling it to the homeowner.
Okay.
Okay. I want an investor to come in, and I'm going to give him a note. Okay. I want a note investor to come in and buy the property. And so what I'm doing is I'm selling him a $12,000 note for what is essentially $8,000 because we split the down payment.
Okay.
He puts in $10,000. We split the down payment. He gets $2,000 back at the close of escrow. He's got $8,000 in the deal. I sell him a $12,000 note in first position at 9%.
Okay.
I keep a second for the additional $9,000 at same 9%.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to split the cash flow and split the down payment. So I get a fee of $2,000 out of the down payment. He gets $2,000 back. He gets a $12,000 note for $8,000.
Right.
And at 9%, 7 years. So I'm thinking that I'm hoping that's a good enough deal to attract some investors.
Sure.
And that's my questions are, would this make sense to an investor where he gets $12,000 note for $8,000, 9%, 7 years?
Well, and then since he's buying a $12,000 note for 8%, obviously his yield is a lot higher than 9% or 12, whatever.
And I'd like help on figuring that out, because that's the last question is I don't know how to figure that. So
you're going to have to kind of back into it. So that period, you're going to have to put in the period of time. So you're going to take a $12,000 note for at 6% or whatever the interest rate is in the term, and then you're going to solve for that monthly payment, and then you're going to play with it to see what that actually comes up with. I mean, I'm thinking it's probably going to be somewhere in the 20% range.
Okay, so I just put it, now I just take that monthly amount and I just plug that monthly payment in for an 8% note, and I just ratchet it up until I figure out what the interest rate is that would give me that payment on
that's correct
$8,000. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and yes, if you're going to use the RMLO if you're going to be selling it to an end user, you're just going to do that. Can I write the note so I get? Yes, absolutely. Put in the note that you have first right of refusal to buy that. So,
okay.
And guys, you should be doing that anyway, whatever you're doing when you're selling, using seller financing, or when you're buying using seller financing, that you put in that you have the first right of refusal to buy that, your own note, if they choose to sell to a third party.
And then
go ahead.
If I offer the investor, to give the investor safety factor, because, you know, you say, well, you can just, you know, foreclose on the property. Most passive investors, that's not a very attractive option.
That's not going to work for them.
As an investor, I don't mind foreclosing.
No,
so
that's exactly
how would I write this up so that I have an option to buy him out of his note if
it's going to be just like the verbiage is just going to be just like it would be on the partial purchase agreement. And, you know, the two remedies, either he can foreclose or you can foreclose. So I would get the verbiage that I would put in is that this if the note goes into default, you have the first right of refusal to cash out whatever the entitlement schedule says that your investor is still owed. You would either continue to make the monthly payment until you could write a check for whatever the entitled balance would be for him, or you would just write a check for whatever his balance would be and you'd cash him out.
And would you say that I can, because I'm providing him a service, that I would be entitled to some kind of discount on that?
Sure, I think so.
Okay. Okay, and do you think that's a good I know you can't write a note where I get part of the payment and he gets a part of the payment. That's why we do partials. So is writing a separate notes
that.
First
you,
and a second, is that
right.
A good strategy for splitting the cash flow?
Gary, you can do that. You can certainly do a split payment. I mean, we've done them in the past where, you know, I had a guy say, look, I need $25,000. The monthly payment's $900 a month. I need to keep $400 a month, so I want to sell $500 a month of that payment. So you just set it up any other way. You calculate whatever, you know, how you want to do that, and you're going to have it third-party serviced, and the servicer is going to receive the $900 payment, and you keep $500 of it, and they're going to send $400 of it to your guy.
I thought that Eddie said that was a security and that we'd get thrown in jail if we did that.
Well, then you know, I haven't heard that, but we'll go with Eddie on that one.
Okay. Well, I may be wrong, but I thought week before last on Monday, I thought that's what Eddie said.
I did something in the 90s, but I'll check with Eddie and see what he thinks. I mean, that's something we've done, so I don't know that that's a huge deal, but I'll check with him and see what his opinion is on that.
Very good. Okay, well, thanks for taking my question.
Very good. No problem, Gary. So Sandra, I guess I've opened up a bottle of something here. Just take the. We'll just have to. Let me check with Eddie on that. And see if we can do split, and see if there's anybody that'll still do split payments. Okay. And Mark Thomas says, can Susan close a partial purchase for me? That would be a Susan question. Susan@noteschool.com. Mark, just email her and say, you know, pose that question to her. Sandra, I'm not really sure. I'm going to have to check with Eddie on that and see if that, or Charles or Bob, and see if that's something we can still do. But we'll do that, and we'll discuss that a little more either on next week's Thursday call or either on Monday's call. Okay, so just hold tight on all of that as well. Okay, very good. Guys, thanks so much. We will see you, talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Stay warm. Bye-bye now.